Infamous Indy presents The Digging Up Dillinger Project, featuring the Texas Crime Travelers and Travis Thompson. I'm your host, Joe Malillo. In the annals of American crime, few figures loom as large as John Dillinger. A mastermind of bank heists, his name became synonymous with brazen robberies and daring escapes. Questions of whether he escaped an FBI ambush and the whereabouts of his buried loot persevere. History offers one account, but there are whispers that tell us many more. Join us as we go digging up Dillinger. Welcome to Digging Up Dillinger. I'm your host, Joe Malillo, and we're back again for another episode. If you're watching on YouTube, you have a real treat. We got seven interviews here on the video call, and I'm very excited not only to introduce some new friends of ours, but talk about a subject that's very interesting when it comes to FBI investigations. So with me, as always, Todd Hiles, Travis Thompson, Stuart Fillmore, Mike Thompson, and today our guest is George Sewell and Dan Baldwin. Hey, guys. Look,
howdy.
Howdy.
Welcome, everyone.
Us guys, us Hoosiers are outnumbered by Texans 4-3. Watch our back. Watch our back. Today's episode, let's talk about this, Stuart, since you kind of, met George and Dan. I'm going to let you do it, ask some initial questions and let everybody know, but I'm going to read their bios and we're going to see, and we're going to meet these guys who they are. So we'll start with Dan. Dan Baldwin is a ghostwriter who has more than 60 books under his own name, and he's the author of numerous Westerns, political theories, mysteries, mainstream fiction books, and short story collections. He's earned multiple winner/finalist designations. This is for Best Book Awards, National Indie Excellence Awards, Book Excellence Awards, Society Southwestern Authors Competition. New Mexico, Arizona Book Awards competitions. He's a co-founder of Find Me, an international association of psychics dedicated to finding missing persons, a public speaker on the paranormal, and an active investigator of what he calls the other side of everything. I love that. That's the coolest thing. He's the investigator of the other side of everything. He's published paranormal works, including Find Me, as told by Dan Baldwin. But one of them I love the name of is The Paranormal Pendulum, Dowsing the Deceased. What a name. What a great name for a book. So The Paranormal Pendulum 2, which is What the Spirits Say, that's another book. You also wrote that with George Sewell. So awesome, Dan. Round of applause. Very, very good job on your bio there.
Yeah, very.
And impressive. Then George Sewell, you have a lifelong interest and study of the paranormal and UFO phenomenon. He's an author of several books and plays, including Paranormal Pendulum 3, The Abduction of Lindsay Higgins, co-author with our other guest, Dan Baldwin, a longtime member of Mutual UFO Network. He's interviewed several people in Northwest Louisiana who have had experiences with the phenomenon, meaning, I'm assuming, alien encounters. And he and Baldwin collaborated on a book called The Sky People and Our Ancestors, which explores the ancient accounts of indigenous people and their interactions with, quote unquote, the sky people. You've also appeared on numerous radio programs and podcasts and interviews. What a bio. You two have a long history.
Yeah.
Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being on the show. We have you here because our friend Stuart Fillmore somehow got you guys all kind of knew each other. Tell everybody how that happened.
Okay, so I'd had the idea for a while because we've kind of reached a point with our Dillinger investigation where we have some unanswered question, and in some areas of it, I would say we've kind of hit a wall. I'm always trying to think outside the box and think creatively and use whatever tools available, to try to get to the truth. And because, we've said this many times, that's what this whole endeavor is about, is just finding the ultimate truth. And I am not going to close myself off to you know, a technique or a tool that can help me do that in by any means, you know, certainly within the rules, so to speak. But, you know, I'm open to any possibility that can help. So I was listening to another podcast, and I frankly honestly forgot which podcast it was on. George, you were on it. And, you know, I was very fascinated by it. And at the end of it, I think you mentioned somehow it came up that you were from Shreveport or in the Shreveport area. And, you know, I live over in Tyler. So I'm, you know, we're not that far apart. And I just thought, yeah, you know, I'm going to reach out, see if I can reach out and see if there's any possibilities that we could apply, you know, some kind of paranormal expertise, you know, to the Dillinger case to see if, you know, if there's a way we could, you know, get some leads going. Because I know from my own experience in law enforcement that many times in, you know, in cold cases or just, you know, in missing person cases, you know, the police have successfully used, you know, psychic abilities, whatever you want to call them. I have no explanation for them, but I I'm not, if it works, what's the old saying? It ain't crazy if it works, you know? And so, I'm open to trying it. And so that's when I reached out to George and I explained, you know, what, kind of what our project here was. You know, we're just trying to figure out some unexplained, and unsolved areas of the Dillinger case. And so I ended up meeting with George and Dan, and we had a fantastic time. I think we just really hit it off. I felt like I'd only been there about 30 minutes, and I think I ended up staying a couple hours or more.
Old boys would have fun, wouldn't you? you guys look like old dogs if I ever saw it.
What a great
connection.
So that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, this was awesome. I mean, I'm so glad you were able to find them. George and Dan, you kind of know what we're doing in terms of the podcast. Let's talk a little bit about the investigations that you've been a part of. Talk about your tactics and really what we were talking about kind of right before we came on air here. You know, what do you all, you know, give it a chance. We've been talking the whole time. So Dan or George, take it away at this point. Tell us what you do.
Let me start because I can tell you a real world example of how pendulum dowsing works in finding things. We were working the case of a missing person who, he was an avid outdoorsman, hunter, you know, had four-wheel drive, was out all the time, and he went missing, and his family was worried about him. He was very depressed, and they said, we know he's somewhere in, that he's in Colorado or Arizona or Utah, or Colorado. That's your search area.
Okay, got it.
Pretty good. So yeah, a group of psychics worked on it together. And one of the problems the police authorities have with working with psychics, they can be absolutely right, and the information can be absolutely of no use whatsoever. For example, one of the psychics came up with a perfect description of the location where the guy was missing. She said, there's a dirt road, there's an old barbed wire fence, there are three buildings that are abandoned, there's a corral, there is a stream running down there, it's a frequent place, a place where people frequently camp. You have to go through a metal gate that's silver, there's red striping on the gate, and around the trees there are red stripes around the trees. Okay, yeah, how many places in those four states have trees and roads and creeks and abandoned buildings? I mean, it's a perfect description, but it does the cops absolutely no good. One of the benefits of using a little pendulum dowsing technique is through a series of yes or no questions, you can narrow down that area. For example, is he in Arizona? Yes. Is he in Northern Arizona? Yes. Is he in Northeastern Arizona? Yes. Just a few questions, you can narrow down the focus of your search area. And if you keep working at it, you can get the area down to such a small area where, that you need a topological map or even Google Earth. And you can actually get lat longs through pendulum dowsing. So if you're right, you go, you know, the authorities can go right there. If you're wrong, they can go right there. And you know, they know you're wrong right off the bat. But yeah, one of the benefits of Pendulum Dowsing is you can get extremely accurate answers that you can verify.
Break it down for the most simplest people. Pretend like I've never seen pendulum dowsing before in our life. Yeah. How do you do it? How do you hold it? What are you doing? What does it look like? Kind of what's the material you use? Yeah. Can you use anything? Can I use my necklace right here? Right. You know, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. And to finish that story, we did find the guy. We did find him. Her description, by the way, her description was right on target. And the red striping around the tree was red paint where they were going to be thinned out by the Forest Service.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the guy had committed suicide. But we were able to locate the guy in a matter of hours instead of a matter of weeks, months, or years. Okay. Yeah, in terms of pendulum dowsing, a pendulum is nothing more than a weight on a string. And it doesn't matter what the material is. I've got rock, plastic, wood, metal, you name it. It doesn't matter. As long as you feel comfortable, it's a weight that you're comfortable with, and the string is a length you're comfortable with. That's all that matters. There's no magic whatsoever. It's a rock on a string. That's all it is. And what happens is it's a little bit like hypnotism, Watch the watch.
Yeah.
While your conscious mind is watching the watch, your subconscious mind is freed up. Your subconscious mind makes contact with the other side of everything. And you can define that however you want to define it. But the answers are out there. And your subconscious mind retrieves the answers, pulls down the answers, floods it through your body. And your subconscious mind directs the movements of your fingers to yes or no. And you have to ask yes or no questions.
What does it look like for a yes versus a no? What's the movement?
It's basically 9 times out of 10, a right swing is a yes, a left swing is a no. If it goes back and forth, chances are you've asked the question in a wrong way. For example, you can't say, is the man I'm looking for a blonde or a brunette? There's no yes or no answer to that. So you have to go, is the man I'm looking for a blonde? No, is the man I'm looking for a brunette? You get a yes. That's why it takes so long.
George.
Again, there's no magic. There's no mystery. It's a weight on a string. Mm-hmm. The magic is up here.
Yeah, and because it has to be yes or no, you have to be very, very specific in your questions, which means you get really more familiar with the subject. So it's slow, but by golly, does it provide the information.
Just so our listeners know, we're going to try this at the end. And although it's not the most perfect circumstances for a session like this, we're going to do it anyway. And there's 5 of us here. We're going to do maybe 5 questions. So, George, you're giving us a hint. We got to come up with very specific yes or no answers for our project. So Travis, Mike, Todd, Stuart, you guys are smart guys. Get going on these questions. Figure it out. Okay. You got about half an hour to figure out 5 questions, and then Dan's going to do it here on the podcast live. Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Got it.
Let me answer one question.
Please. Yeah,
front.
Please.
Let me answer one question, because you're going to ask, is John Dillinger alive? Somebody will ask
no,
that question.
No, we will not be asking.
No, that no, no, we're not going to.
None of us.
Okay. Well, the answer is yes, by the way. Your audience who are interested in dowsing need to understand this. George is absolutely right about the importance of asking the questions, because if you're looking for a missing person and you ask, is the person alive? The person is alive. The body may be dead. The physical body may be dead, but the person is still alive because the spirit goes on.
Okay.
So when you're asking questions about is the missing person alive, you really need to ask, is the missing person physically alive?
Was John Dillinger? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, he was born in 1903, so I don't think he's still in the physical realm. But no, point taken. Point taken, Dan. Thank you.
The questions are everything.
Yeah.
George, tell us a little bit more about an experience you've had. We've read your bio has a laundry list of different things you've done. Talk a little bit about working in this space.
Well, let me just basically, I was very, very intrigued with Dan's working with the pendulum. And at that time, I was acquainted with a Shreveport woman who reported a lifetime, if you will, of experiences with what we would call the UFO phenomenon. And this, I was affiliated with the Mutual UFO Network at the time and was an assistant director for Louisiana. So I was asked to, well, let's talk to this lady and see what's going on. And after I got acquainted with Lindsay, realized that rather than use the traditional research methods to try to find out what's going on with this person, Dan, you're going to be in town next week. I got somebody I'd like you to meet. Bring your pendulum. So Dan and I got together with Lindsay and with the pendulum. We had two or three two-hour sessions, and she got into a lot of detail as to what she was experiencing, was getting a lot of reinforcement with the pendulum. So it was a fascinating tool to assist Lindsay in learning what was actually going on in her life. And we had validations to that. In particular, we spent a lot of time with the pendulum conversing with Lindsay's late aunt. They were very, very close all of her life. They lived basically next door. And the aunt was very interested in what was happening with Lindsay in her present life. And so Lindsay was able to converse with her favorite aunt. And in one later session, even, it was Lindsay, me, and Dan. And she was very curious if this involvement with the UFO phenomenon, and we got very specific in it in the book, if this was something that had been with her in her previous lifetimes, or was it just limited to the present lifetime? And using the pendulum, she was able to communicate with the spirit of her previous life. And she was able to determine that, yes, indeed, in her previous existence, and we knew about that, that, yes, she still had this same involvement with the UFO phenomenon as she does now. And that led us to learn that this has been a continuous association going back hundreds upon hundreds of years. So that was a great revelation for her in the sense that this is something that she agreed to a long time ago. And therefore, it took a lot of the strangeness and the weirdness out of it. Yeah, the whole thing's kind of strange, but it put it in context that was very useful for her.
I don't think it's strange. It's interesting. Well,
no, it's really interesting. And George, that now you were also I think with her on a TV show, right? Was that on Netflix? I think, or where was that?
Yeah, Lindsay has had a lifetime of these experiences, and she reached a point. Finally, I can't sit on this anymore. I've got to get this out. And she basically put it out there I forget what the initial platform was, but it caught the attention of some producers in Los Angeles. And they were in the process of coming up with a series for Netflix called Haunted. And they approached Lindsay about doing her story as one of the episodes of their first season. And she said, sure, fine, be happy to. And they asked, well, is there anybody else who knows about your background? We would like for them to come too. And she said, oh, well, that would be George. So I got to go with Lindsay out to Hollywood for the shoot. And I was fascinated with just how many people tuned in and were really, really interested in her experience and very similar experiences. That continues to amaze me, just how many people really harbor an interest in this field. It's much more vocal now, of course, than it was 20, 30 years ago, but the numbers are, I'm delighted. It's just something a lot of people are interested in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating, actually.
Hey, when it comes to FBI investigations, just investigations in general, I'm going to play devil's advocate and do not take this any other way other than I'm playing devil's advocate, but sure, you guys sound nuts. I'm only kidding. I mean, like,
no, so what else is new?
Yeah,
so.
There it is.
I like it. Welcome to the club, you know.
what are, when, you know, when people maybe do you have a story or can you tell the listeners something that happened where someone was a super skeptic and then something happened and all of a sudden now they're not a skeptic? Obviously, you know, Dan told the story of narrowing it down and finding a body and a description really quickly. But, you know, either one of you, I mean, this is really interesting stuff. I think this is just a natural questioning that's going through listeners' heads of, come on, guys, you're swinging a rock. Like, you know, it could be interpreted any way, you know, convince me as a listener here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can give an example, and it's an example that has happened many, many, many times. But I was visiting some friends back in Louisiana, and they wanted to see me do the pendulum dowsing work. And I said, I'll do a demonstration. And they wanted to see if somebody they knew from who had crossed over would come back. I said, let's see what happens. So I started doing the pendulum work, and when I'm doing any work, I try to get a very accurate description. In other words, the same like you would if you're a policeman looking for a description of a perpetrator. I try to get a physical description. You know, how tall was the guy? Is it male? Is it a female? Is he blonde? Is he brunette? Blue eyes? Brown eyes? Is he heavy? Is he lightweight? Is he black, white, Eurasian, whatever? Does he have any identifying scars, medical scars? Does he have any tattoos? Where did he die? How did he die? Where did he live? Yeah, that sort of just build a profile. And I was going through building the profile, and my friend was had kind of a funny look on his face. And I said, "What's the matter? I've been doing this for about 15 minutes." He said, "That's my grandfather."
Oh, wow.
He said, "You have described 100% my grandfather." I never met the guy's grandfather. But he said, "You got it right down to out of something, mm-hmm. something like you got it right down to his tattoo on his arm." And that just shows I'm not claiming the pendulum dowsing works all the time, you know. Right. Psychics have bad days like everybody else. But when it works, it's phenomenally accurate. And one of the way.
He's breaking up a little bit.
Everything we possibly can.
There you go.
Yeah, we try to verify everything that we can through interviewing other people. News reports, magazines, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, pendulum dowsing, it's a great way to get started, and it's a great way to verify stuff mm-hmm. that can be verified in other means.
Right.
And that's part of the problem we have, right? We have a lot of information. And hey, if you want a description of John Dillinger, look behind Travis. There's a couple of pictures of him right there for our questioning here coming up at the end of the podcast. But yeah, that's one of the main problems. Sorry, we have all this thing, all these answers, all these questions, I should say, and what we think are answers are evidence. And, you know, we will try anything once. That's, I think, the goal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's the, no, there's yeah, the let t-shirt. Me, we will try anything
yeah, let
once.
Let me throw in another example from the police world. I was doing a search and recovery up in Yavapai County. And this was on a Saturday, and I was my part of the search. I went out and did what they call ground pounding. I did my psychic work, and then I would go out with the rescue crew or the recovery crew. And I was walking with these two deputy sheriffs, and both said, "You know, Dan, we don't believe in this psychic stuff that you guys are doing." He said, "But you guys have information that only we and only the killers have. So you've tapped into something, and we're out here on our day off because of that."
Right. Yep.
I got a quick question. How many cases have you used where it's the like a witness to a crime and that maybe they can't remember what they saw, but then after sitting down with you, you can find out that they can remember like the license plate of the car and remember more facts of the crime? Is that possible?
Well, I guess that's more a hypnotism.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, somebody could sit down and say, "What is the license plate of the car that got away?" You could do you could take a chart, they have a numerical chart, you know, and give me the first digit, give me the second digit, give me the third digit, give me the fourth digit, and you could get the license plate mm-hmm. number, license right. plate number that way. And I've done that.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
What do you think is the most effective, most success rate? On a project in your opinion? I mean, like, is there something that's like, I know this is going to be a good one, or I know, or it's, like you said, it's just having a good day or a bad day reading it?
I don't have any feel for that. I just start doing the reading.
Yeah, interesting.
And yeah, once you get into it, sometimes you go. I've done a couple of cases where I've gotten, maybe half an hour into the case, and I realize, this is not something I need to be working on, and I backed out just because of a bad feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. George, you're shaking your head.
One thing I would make known is that when Dan and I are talking about using the pendulum, we're using it for research. It's not as an entertainment thing or a spooky. It is a validated, at least in our experience, tool to conduct research.
Right.
I love it. I mean, I would say, I think that was one of my main questions too, because, this could be construed as woo-woo, kind of not, obviously your experience is telling a different, and obviously everybody has an experience of their own. But like Dan said, right, the FBI guys or the investigation crew was on their day off because he was pulling stuff that nobody else knew. That's pretty hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And a good investigator is not going to discount that just because that's not something that is, that's in your normal toolbox. So, especially when it's a matter of life and death and that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
man, I think anything's on the table. And, you're just not going to just discount that. I think you're foolish if you do.
Well, I've told police before, but many times I said, look, you would accept a call, an anonymous call from somebody with a tip, and you would act on that tip.
Yeah.
Why won't you take, why don't you take information from a vetted psychic who has a track record of coming up with valuable information and treat that with at least the same equality you would an anonymous tip?
And the logical answer is that there is no reason. I mean, it's
something exactly.
Mm-hmm. You should do it. It's just some people, I think, are close-minded. And, obviously this is something similar to like a polygraph or something that is not, it's not admissible in court, but we're not worried about that. We want the lead value of it to know, are we on the right track? Is this a place we need to go? You can more efficiently do your investigation, and that I'm all about that.
Well, the information that George and I come up with the name of the killer, you can't take that to court.
No, you can't.
But I can give you the name of the killer, and you can start looking for the killer and find information that you can take to the court.
That's exactly right. And that's what I mean. That's lead value. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I'm now I want our leads.
Right.
Hey, George and Dan, how much do you know about what we've been doing in terms of the Dillinger case? Have you done any? Have you listened to any of our stuff? Have you listened?
No. Only what I've heard in the media, and since we talked with Stuart, I have purposefully stayed away from it.
In the media, media?
Okay, good. I appreciate that. Yeah.
When you say media, do you mean like the news stories that have been online?
Movies and stuff like that over the years. Yeah,
okay.
Just stuff
over the years.
Any other citizen would get in the normal throw of the day.
How about you, George? Have you done
same?
Great. So it's on record. You guys don't know shit about our stuff. Okay, good. That's a good thing.
I saw the movie.
Okay, that works. Stuart, you were going to say something?
No, I was just going to say, I think it's great that that they are, they're fresh on this thing. They're not emotionally attached to it. And again, we want this to be as objective as possible. And that just makes it even better.
So we, selfishly, to be honest, we brought you guys on to do one of the sessions to see. And obviously, Dan, I'd like to work with you, George, afterwards or another day, where maybe we could spend a little bit more time. Stuart, if you get over there again, you get to hang out with those old dogs. You guys have a couple of whiskeys and see if you can knock that out and do something. But selfishly, we wanted to see you guys do this for us just for fun. If worse comes to worse, just like you said, look, we need all the tools we can get. We need all the info. If we can get more leads, there's a couple of things that I think we really need answered. But if it's cool with everybody else, unless, you know, Tom, Mike, Travis, Stuart, if you have more questions, let's spend the next minute or two asking Dan, George questions about logisticals of everything they do. Otherwise, I think we can maybe go into a quick session.
Oh, yeah. I think I've got a good question.
Yeah, definitely do a quick session.
I have a feeling that asking one question at a time isn't going to be effective, Dan. I think maybe having one person ask questions in sequential order, because obviously as you get one answer or whatever, you want to ask another one. Can you see that happening right now? I mean, would that be easy for you to handle?
Whatever you guys want to do, just ask the question, give us a, you know, give us 10 seconds to let the thing do its.
Yeah, see what the pendulum
and
does.
And we'll give an answer, then move on to the next
one. Hey, all right. Hey, just a heads up. We are, this is such a shameless plug. Listen, every episode, we're going to come up with a new t-shirt and based on that episode, and we're going to. And we're gonna put it on our shop, and you guys can buy it. I'm wearing the Digging Up Dillinger shirt with Dig 'Em Up on the back, and then Mike, show me.
I have
the Digging Up Dillinger shirt. Yeah. I love that one with the negative of his mugshot. So I'm really excited. Dan, just give us the go and say, hey, start asking questions, and I'll shut up and let this happen.
Go. Nope. That wasn't very hard.
Joe, I texted you my question, if you want to kind of be the central hub there.
Okay. All right. Was the map deliberately hidden from the authorities?
Define map.
Was the Shell roadmap, the 1934 Shell roadmap that was found at the Dillinger Farm in 2018, at the time it was initially buried, was that to hide it from the authorities?
Yeah, that's a two-part question.
Yeah, it's not a yes or no.
Was the map hidden?
Was the Shell roadmap?
Well, the map was buried. We know it was buried. Was it buried to hide it from the authorities?
That's a yes.
Okay. I just love it.
George, are you doing this?
I love it. Okay.
Joe, I just sent you a
You guys, question. Just ask the questions. Don't send it to me.
Yeah, just go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Dan, did the FBI cover up the truth around Dillinger's death in 1934?
I got a no.
I'm getting a yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, what does that mean?
Does that mean maybe we need to be more specific in that?
Yeah, try another one, yeah.
Yeah.
I got one
question. When you said FBI, that meant the whole organization. Can you refine that?
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Yeah, I can refine that. Did J. Edgar Hoover cover up the truth around Dillinger's death?
Yes.
I got a quick yes on that.
Awesome. Wow.
Okay. You see the importance.
I got an easy direct question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mike.
Is John Dillinger's body in Indiana?
I got to know.
I got to know.
Get out of here, you guys! You guys are playing with us. You're teasing us. Okay. I know. Wow. It's
I suppose that does that mean something?
Yes.
Yes.
Email me. Email
How about me. This? Did
big time?
Did John Dillinger send a picture of himself in 1961?
No.
I'm getting a no.
Okay, let's refine that because it was in 1959.
Oh, word.
Did John Dillinger send a picture of himself to the Indianapolis Star in 1959?
I'm getting a no.
I'm still, yeah, no.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Hey, Joe, how about a question? Does the map hold any type of a clue?
Oh, yeah.
I think you need a more specific question.
Was
clue to what?
Yeah.
A buried loot.
Yeah, treasure or money. The location of the money. All right, we'll refine the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The map found buried on the family farm, does it hold any information to bury treasure?
I got a yes.
I got a yes.
Are we eight? Is that five questions?
Yeah, but keep going.
All right, I have a question. Is John Dillinger's body located in California?
I got to know.
No.
Is John Dillinger's body located in Indiana?
We already got a no on that one.
Yeah, we got a no on that one.
Yeah, I got a no.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I'm just seeing.
So that's something we can do off camera. We can kind of narrow a lot of this stuff down, you know, with specific questions.
I got one more.
Go ahead, Mike.
Was John Dillinger killed in Chicago?
Yes.
I got a yes.
Okay.
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 I mean that, yeah, okay.
Interesting. Okay.
If what it's worth, I've been to the Biograph.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody was killed there.
Yeah, somebody was killed there.
For sure.
Okay. Any other ones? How about this? Is any of John Dillinger's loot still not found or still lost?
I'm getting a yes before you finish.
A strong yes. Okay.
Strong yes.
Okay. Great. So see, that's something that with a lot of, if I understand Dan and George on this, that's something that we can narrow down. It's going to be somewhat laborious, I think, you know, because like Dan said, you have to eliminate, is it in Northern Arizona or Southern Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you narrow it down like that. So it sounds
you can get it down to latitude and longitude.
How about, I got a couple more. One I really want. Did John Dillinger kill anybody?
That's a yes.
I'm not getting a yes or a no.
How about this? John Dillinger knowingly kill anyone?
Yes.
I gotta know.
Okay. So see, that's a question. That's really interesting because, you know, that's such an open question with what we know with the available record. So, I mean, you know, a lot of this stuff is kind of consistent with things that we know, you know, through traditional means.
All right.
Well, that's why this is more of a demonstration than anything else. Sure. Because if we were doing a real session, we could spend a half hour or more just following that one question.
Exactly. Yeah.
One more question. This is just so fun. I think this is great. Do you, was John Dillinger reincarnated?
Okay, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Was John Dillinger reincarnated in the United States?
I got to know.
I got a yes.
Okay. See,
well, maybe incarnated more than once.
Interesting. Yeah.
I just thought it would be
a long time ago.
Yeah. Kids, I want to ask one more before we run out of time. Did John Dillinger live past 1934?
I'm getting to know.
I got to know.
Okay. All right. So I
the
think
the body's not in Indiana, but he didn't live past
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Interesting.
And again, you guys didn't know. You didn't know.
You guys don't. They don't know these details. No, this doesn't mean anything to them. So
this is great.
And like I said, it's very consistent. This is awesome. Yeah.
This was fun, Stuart. Yes. I think now you're tasked with. You might have to go and do a session with them and try to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so let me, I'll just take this quick moment to do kind of a shameless plug and to further up on that issue. So tomorrow on our Back in Crime podcast that Todd and I do, we're going to be dropping a very important episode. It's going to be the first of a 3-part episode on some work that we've done on the John F. Kennedy assassination. We know that there's been some, you know, some recent news about the current administration releasing all the available records of that. And so what we've found in our investigation is very, very relevant to that. And there's some stuff in there that we found that is brand new. It's original stuff. I think it's very compelling. It's very important stuff. And so I wanted to throw that little plug in there, mainly because I want to get back together with George and Dan. Because Dan has a great interest in the Kennedy assassination as well, and he and I had a long discussion about that as well. I will absolutely use every tool in the toolbox to get to the truth of something. And if there's something we can do to solve that, I'm all over it.
Thanks, Stuart. We really appreciate you sharing that. And you know, you're a huge team member here. I don't care if you plug your Back in Crime podcast every podcast.
Well, I think, you know, I think a lot of people that you know, that have an interest in some of these unsolved elements of Dillinger, you know, or also would find the Kennedy assassination compelling and vice versa. So, kind of a, you know, mutual interest.
We are running up on the end of the show. George, Dan, thank you. Yes. Thank you very much.
This absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Very interesting you, podcast. I love it. We'd love to have you back one day for another something.
Anytime.
And sure. Here's what can people find your stuff? Where would you like?
Yeah, plug your stuff, guys. Plug it.
No.
Yeah, well, all our books are on available in ebook and paperback on Amazon.
Great.
You can get me at www.danbaldwin.com, www. Four Knights Press, FourKnights, FourKnightsPress.com.
Great. George, what about
my
you?
My email is
www.georgeesewell, S-E-W-E-L-L. Be sure to get that middle initial E-N.com.
All right. Got it. Thank you, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
As always, we always say, I think the t-shirt slogan for the day is the other side of everything. Is that what we're going with?
I love that. Yeah.
What one?
What'd you say?
Give me a credit line. Give me a credit line.
As Dan Baldwin.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Dan Baldwin at the bottom of it. Yeah.
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 Or his body isn't in Indiana. That one, I mean, yeah. the other side of everything. Listen, we gotta keep going. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back again next week.
Yes.
We got some big updates this week. Follow us on our TikTok and our YouTube. And of course, comment, like, share, subscribe, the whole nine yards. Travis and I are getting together. We're going to go down to the Indiana State Museum, and they're going to try to authenticate. They are going to authenticate it. We're hoping they hit it and say, yes, John Dillinger's baseball glove, or what we believe is John Dillinger's baseball glove. And then they're going to put it on display as loaned out by the family. So Travis and I are going to be doing that today this week. And make sure to stay tuned, and we'll have updates on TikTok. I'll probably go live a couple times. So, and with that, guys, thanks again. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank
you. Thank you.
All right.
As always, keep digging.
Keep digging.
Keep digging.
Keep digging, baby. The Digging Up Dillinger podcast is produced by Joe Melillo and Grace Hiles. Theme music produced by Eddie Bandis. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. Until next time, keep digging.